Disc 2.
They'd just finished barricading the door with table and chairs when there came the sound of hammering from the other side.
"Don't you want your dinner then?" Sally's voice called.
"Not hungry," the doctor yelled back. "We'd probably choke on it anyway, am I right?" Rose could hear her laugh. It had sounded so genuine and uplifting before. Now it sounded false, inhuman.
"Well," Sally shouted, "we have a few choices on the menu today."
"No, no, let me guess," the doctor replied. "For starters, we can let you in and you kill us all for the main course. Or we can sit it out for a while you threaten young Jim. And as a pudding, Canon K might decide to blow the door down and you murder us all anyway as soon as he gets enough power back. Hardly what I call just desserts."
"No," came the reply, "but killing and murdering are the house special this week, and we do them so well."
"You can't kill us till we've traced the engine signature that will lead us to Glint's ship," the doctor called. There was a short pause. Then Sally replied,
"You're right, but you'll have to die sometime, sooner rather than later, and horribly rather than quickly, if you don't take us to the Buccaneer."
The doctor was spinning in a circle, pinching the bridge of his nose and turning rapidly as he thought.
"Chalkboard," he decided. "There's always a chalkboard with extra choices, and so often you only notice it and see that there's just what you fancied after you've already ordered."
He stopped spinning and threw his arms wide as he demanded of them all,
"So, what's on the chalkboard?"
"Rule Crark, probably," Rose told him.
"Crocs!" the doctor suddenly shouted. "Rose, you're brilliant."
He moved to the side of the room and ripped off a wall plate, exposing a cavity filled with pipes.
"Are you going to stop the engines?" Rose said. "Like, threaten to destroy the ship?"
The doctor looked at her over his shoulder, expression sympathetic. "Rose, this is more likely the central heating than anything very critical."
"So what?"
But he had the whole top half of his body inside the cavity now.
"Time's up,"
Sally shouted from the other side of the door.
"Tell her we'll open up,"
the doctor's muffled voice called from inside the wall.
"Take down the barricade."
"You sure?"
McCavity said.
"Just do it."
The door swung open to reveal the three robots, four including Sally. Jonesy, or rather Smithers, as Rose now knew he was, held the unconscious Jim in his arms.